Morning again. Good morning. It's 5 past 12. We finished at 4:15. Now then, I'm going to try and do a very short sermon. When it gets to 4:15, if you're bored with me, put your hands up. When it gets to 4:15. If I'm enjoying myself, I will pretend that the sun is so dazzling I can't see your hand in the air, and I will carry on. Sounds good fun, doesn't it? What I want to talk about today, I was thinking about baptism. I just said at the beginning what the symbolism of baptism means. It means that your old life is finished with, and you, as you come up out of water, it's symbolic of that you are a new creation in Christ. And one of the verses that says that is 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation or a new creature. The old things have passed away, all things have become new. And it reminded me of when I was baptized with my wife, Gwyn, back in 1973 here. And I thought, I wonder how many people in the room were actually baptized here at Mount Chapel. Anybody? Quite a few, look at that, wow. And I remember back in 1973, it was April 1973, because I'd been christened in the Church of England. My mum and dad had me christened in the Church of England when I was 3 weeks old. So, you know, there was a bit of, well, haven't I already been baptised? And that sort of came into my thinking a little bit. And then I realised, you know, when I was baptised, I was 3 weeks old when I was christened. And I'd just become a Christian recently, and so I wanted to say it after becoming a Christian. I wanted to let everybody know that what had happened to me, that a big change had happened in my life. Along with that song that we just sang before, you know, with that yee-haw song, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my life. You look, I can only see your silhouette, so I hope you're smiling. So a big change had come over me, and when I heard about baptism, I thought, well, Jesus got baptized when he was an adult, and I want to be baptized, you know, now that I know what I know, now that I believe what I believe. And so four of us got baptized that night, and it's great that there's been five here today, and there's been some wonderful, we used to do them all in the evenings back then, and I think once we had about 12 or 13 baptized on one occasion. It was a wonderful night. James, there was quite a lot when you were there. Was that the same night? Was there about a dozen that night?
Yeah, a dozen.
Wow. Andrew and Laura as well. Fantastic. Anyway, so baptism is a symbol of what's happened to you. And I just said, well, what did happen to him? Why did I become a Christian back then? A lot of it was to do with the changes that were going on in society in the late 60s. Which dates me a little bit. I was going to crack the joke, you know, I became a Christian at 27, which must be about 20 years ago or so now, something like that. But I can't do that now, I've mentioned the decade. So the 1960s, the late 60s and early 70s, there was a lot of changes in society. There was a lot of talk about relative values. There was a lot of talk about, is anything really good or is anything really evil or is it all relative? You can do whatever you like as long as it doesn't affect somebody else. It's not wrong if it doesn't affect somebody else. And situational ethics were talked about a lot. The Beatles used to talk about situational ethics. It's okay to take drugs, you know, it doesn't harm anybody else. What's it got to do with you if I take drugs? And all of those kind of things. When you start to think, well, is there anything right? Is there anything wrong? Is there any such thing as truth? Or is truth relative? It's all philosophical, this. I was learning to be a teacher at the time, and we had to read philosophy. I had to read Descartes and Rousseau, as well as child psychologists like Piaget and John Dewey, and they all had their views, and Freud with his psychoanalysis, and Jung, and people who were existentialists who said, you know, we're just a bunch of chemicals, and everything's futile, and when you die, that's it, and didn't cheer me up, you know, it didn't cheer me up, this. And I thought, is there such a thing as truth? Could these guys be right? Because the more I read, the more confused I got. Particularly with Descartes, he used to really confuse me. He used to say, you know, is this chair really here? And my son Blanche said, yeah, there it is. But his was, no, you might be dreaming. You might be in a dream. Oh yeah, could be in a dream. So how do you know you're not all in, how do you know we're not all in a dream, walking in a dream? Matrix. And he, you know, in the end he got to the point, well, I'm thinking this, so I must exist, because I'm thinking it. I think, therefore I am, he eventually came up with the statement of. Because I'm thinking, is this a chair or isn't it, or am I dreaming? I'm thinking, so I exist. And he thought that's indisputable. So I agreed with that. I am because I'm thinking. Yeah? For somehow he got to the point God exists. Because he was thinking God, I couldn't follow it at all. Anyway, started reading the New Testament at the same time. Still looking for the truth, remember? And I read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And as I read them privately, didn't go to church. Well, yeah, we did go to church, but I was reading this privately at home. And I began to think, a very deep theological revelation came to me. I began to think, wow, isn't that deep? And the more I read, the more wow it became. And I got to John's Gospel, and my wow got deeper and bigger. And John's Gospel, I thought, hey, I've been looking for the truth. I've never heard anybody speak like this. I've never heard anybody say the kind of things this person's saying. And it's not confusing me. It's straightening me out. It's fitting. It fits with the way I perceive life should be. And I came to the conclusion when Jesus said, I am the truth. And when he said, the truth shall set you free. And when he said, when he's speaking with Pilate, Pilate said, what is truth? And I thought, this is the person. Of all the books I've read, this is the person I want to follow. This is the person I want to give the rest of my life to. It's the best decision I've ever made. And it gets better and better, even though it was so long ago. And Jesus is the person that makes sense of life. For me, he's the person that makes it work. He's the person who, without him, I would have given up long ago. My spirit would have got really, really flat. But he lifts my spirit. Whenever I think about him, whenever I start saying his name, whenever I start worshipping, I start to go up like that. I get buoyant. Whoa.
I didn't realise I'd been away, put weight on.
There's nothing countryish about that, is there? Wow. Can I, do you mind if I touch you? Where was I? You've distracted me completely walking in like that. I was buoyant, that's it, I was buoyant. And the more I think about Jesus, the more I get lifted up. He lifts up my spirits. And he says in the Bible, he's the lifter of our heads. Jesus is the lifter of our heads. I don't know if you ever get depressed or you ever read the news and you feel a bit low, and then you know, next item of news, you feel slinking down into your chair. But when you think about Jesus, when you think about the person he is, and that he's alive, and that his place in history, and that he's coming back one day, and that this planet doesn't have a disastrous future, it has a glorious future, because Jesus is coming back to straighten it all out. And he's going to take possession of the nations. The Jews have known that a long time, of course. That's why they didn't accept him when he first came, because they thought the Messiah is going to start to rule the nations. This Messiah isn't doing that. They didn't understand the concept of Jesus coming in two stages. That Jesus would come first of all to bring his kingdom near. That is, that his kingdom would come in two stages. And he said, I've not come to judge this time. This is the day of the Lord. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. To preach good news to the poor. To release the captives. And to give light to the blind. But he didn't go on to say the last part of the verse that he was quoting. He was quoting a verse from Isaiah, written 700 years earlier, that went on to say, the day of the vengeance of our God. But he didn't bring the vengeance of God. He didn't bring judgment with him the first time he came. But when he comes again, he will come to judge the world and every individual on it and every nation on it. And it's a glorious, glorious future for those who know him and believe him. He's not going to whisk us all the way to heaven. He's going to put the earth right. He's going to reign on earth. Nations won't like it because, you know something about Jesus? He's very on PC. And they will not like it. I mean, they don't like it if I say anything on PC. So they certainly won't like it if Jesus says the many on PC things he will say. I mean, separating people to the right and to the left, you know, isn't that discrimination? That's not PC. And he will separate them on the basis of their beliefs. Is that PC? Probably not. But Jesus is, you know, to me, because I love him so much, I can't wait to see him. And those who believe in him, says, you will see him face to face. When you see him, you will become like him. So we'll become more like him when we see him, when he comes again. Meanwhile, on earth, here, living daily life now, the answer to depression for me is hope. The answer to despair is Jesus. And he's the author and the finisher of our faith. What he began in my life, and many other lives in here, all those years ago, he will finish. And it's not trying to keep up. It's not, can I keep it up? It's can I still love him? Can I keep loving him, even though I fail a lot? And I do fail a lot. And my family knows that more than anybody, how much I fail. But I still love him. Bottom of my heart, I still love him. And I always will. And he'll always love me. Isn't that great? That's awesome. He loves you too. I'm his favourite, but he loves you as well. I think you're okay. He said, okay, you know. But he has favourites. I'm particularly fond of John, he says. So he tells me quite a lot, you know. The only thing is he says that to everybody else as well. I'm particularly fond of Ray. Especially in his suit. I'm particularly fond of you. But after what I've just done? Yeah, I'm particularly fond of you. Yeah, but I've just failed you. Yeah, but your rotten desire is you love me, don't you? Well, yeah. See, I put that in you. I put that inside you. See, the great thing about Jesus is he still operates in our lives. It's gone quarter past. Not seen any hands go up. Thank you. I'm stopping anyway now. Cheeky. So he does sustain us. One of my favourite books in the Bible, as most of you know, is Song of Songs, where it says, I will sustain you with cakes of raisins. Now, it's not a favourite because it mentions cakes. But it's a favourite because he will sustain us. He sustains us through life. He upholds us. He upholds the universe. And he upholds you and me. One of my favourite worship leaders at the moment is a woman called Misty Edwards, based in Kansas City. She sings a song, see the way he holds the stars in his hands. See the way he holds my heart. He who upholds the stars also upholds my heart. Isn't that great? That's superb. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this wonderful day we've had today, just sharing in this occasion with these five people who've been baptized, Jonathan and Georgia, Holly, Mary, Ray. We thank you for them letting us share in their joyous occasion, and we know they'll never forget this day, and we pray it'll be a real blessing to them as they look back on it for the rest of their lives. We pray for their future and their walk with you, that you will sustain them as you uphold the stars, that you will uphold them. And what you have started in them, you will finish, we believe. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you for coming, everybody. I think tea and coffee is on its way in.